Welcome, welcome. Again, this is the B-side of the podcast. Not going to waste your time with an intro. You know who we are. We just talked to you for 40-plus minutes about Suns basketball, which, Dave, I'm going to pat ourselves on the back. I thought that was some good stuff. I thought that our two-man weave there was immensely better, more valuable, and a much more efficient use of time and money than the Los Angeles Lakers with their current contract situation that they just offered a certain star out there in La La Land.
Yeah, I'm just going to jump out right out there and just say I am so thrilled that the Los Angeles Lakers tied up their entire future in Kobe Bryant, who is 35 years old, coming off an Achilles injury. This has been covered. My first reaction to hearing about this extension was, thank God. As a Suns fan, I love this. As a Lakers fan, I would be horrified. But, of course, Lakers fans see Kobe as a deity, so they're probably not horrified, but they should be. But since then, Amin El-Hassan has covered it very well. Kevin Pelton on ESPN have basically just ripped this deal to shreds the way it should have been ripped to shreds, because I completely agree with it. From the Lakers' point of view, they made it a lot easier for Suns fans. They tied up their cap with Kobe Bryant. Yes, they have room for a max guy, but really what max guy is going to want to sign with a team who has a 41-year-old point guard who can't play and a 36-year-old shooting guard who with a torn Achilles who's recovering from that, and no one's ever recovered fully from that before. As the drawing power, who cares if it's L.A.? You don't want to lose 60 games a year or be the only guy who can play going to the Lakers. You're going to go to another team. So I think the Lakers are going to strike out next summer. I think it's just a wonderful signing from a Suns fan point of view and a really stupid signing from the Lakers point of view.
Having a 41-year-old point guard and a 36-year-old deity, as you said, superstar, that Kobe can still play, but having a 41-year-old point guard and
we don't know that he can still play, Chris. Since he tore the Achilles.
No, correct. I mean, last year we saw that he can still play at this age. You're right. Coming off the injury, we don't know yet, but having a 41-year-old point guard and having a 36-year-old star, you know, as your two centerpieces is like having in 2013, having Steve Nash and Kobe Bryant be the guys that are trying to lure a free agent out here. This is not LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. This is not even Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire. I mean, we're talking about that doesn't work. I mean, I don't know what delusional world that this team is. I understand, you know, Kobe had a quote today saying this wasn't a negotiation. They came to me and said, this is how much we want to give you. And he said, where do I sign? I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, my first two thoughts of this trade were, one, get paid. Good for you. Like, I'm all about guys getting paid and getting their money. And the second thought was, well, there goes $24 million of your $54 million salary cap for the next 2 years. He's taken up about 40% of the Lakers salary cap, and there's no chance he can be 40% of a championship team, in my opinion.
Right. And Lakers fans will talk about the fact that, well, yeah, but they could have as much as $28 million in cap space in addition to Kobe. Sure, you can have that. And what you've got is you've got Kobe Bryant and Wes Johnson. And that's about it. You know, Robert Sacre. And that's about it. You don't have Steve Nash anymore to get that money. You don't have Pau Gasol anymore to get that money. You have nothing. So if you want a Steve Nash as a sidekick, then you're down to $21 million. And then all of a sudden, you know what? There's no Carmelo Anthony going there, and there's no veteran going there. And guess what? Next summer, all their future free agents are going to be re-signed by their own teams, just like Eric Bledsoe. And just like Eric Gordon a year ago. So really, there's nothing for the Lakers to sign next summer. When they could have signed somebody is in the summer of 2015, like maybe a Kevin Love. Oh, but guess what? Kobe's still on the books. So they're not going to be able to sign him then either. And Kevin Love is not going to go to a place with a 37-year-old shooting guard who not only is a 37-year-old shooting guard, we're not talking Reggie Miller here, who is okay with being a second, third, fourth fiddle on a playoff team as a 37-year-old who can shoot jumpers. We're talking Kobe Bryant, who insists on having the ball in his hands, eats first, as he once put it, and still demands $24 million a year, knowing he's not going to be the same player anymore. He may not have demanded it because the Lakers offered the money, but he demanded it because he said several times he was never going to take a pay cut. So the Lakers probably thought they got a deal by making him only take $24 million. So I just think it's just the whole thing is great for a Suns fan.
Man, this little guys like us saying only $24 million out loud just makes me sad. The only thing that could have made this just more comical and just easier to rip apart is if they already have Mike D'Antoni, who runs a system that doesn't necessarily enhance all of the skills of a Kobe Bryant. They already have a 41-year-old.
That's funny. It doesn't enhance any skills of Kobe Bryant in Mike D'Antoni's offense.
Yeah, they already have a 41-year-old Steve Nash. They already have a disgruntled, kind of trying to survive Pau Gasol, who probably wishes he was in Spain or Memphis, one of the two. If they only just had Ron Artest, if they still had him, then that would make this even more comical, because then you'd be looking at the Lakers going, man, in 2014 in the summer, we're going to pitch someone to come here and be that missing link between Nash, Kobe, Artest, Gasol. Who's going to be that fifth guy that's going to be in the D'Antoni offense and win us a championship? There's no one is that fifth guy. There is no fifth guy for that quartet.
2005 ain't walking through that door.
I don't know if we can continue the podcast after that, because
that was drop the mic, walk out.
Drop the mic, walk out was when Dwayne Wade in the playoffs, when Ron Artest was on Indiana, backed him up to the half court line and just hit him with the first step. Wasn't even a move, just hit him with the first step. And that's when Ron Artest went from being the best perimeter defender in the NBA to just another guy on a team that can play some defense.
There you go.
So, 2005 is definitely not walking through that door. And for the Los Angeles Lakers, I mean, Kobe Bryant's going to walk through that door for the next 2 years. You made for damn sure with that, with $48
million. That's for sure, and that's okay with me. I'll watch him limp around the court for 2 years.
This is just, I mean, when you think about this, has there been a deal that has ever made you think, and I know this, we're putting each other on the spot with this, I'm trying to think of ones myself, but has there ever been a deal that was just this comical in any sport, where it's just this comical? The guy is either that old or that limited or that injured, and just the fact that they're just blindly throwing money at him because he's a guy that wears their jersey and they're loyal to him.
Well, there's been a lot of deals that have strapped teams for years and ruined their futures. I mean, you've got Joe Johnson, who was signed to a max contract in the high 20s just a couple of years ago. And now, he won a game against the Suns the other week. Whoop. But he is not a max guy, and he hasn't been a max guy for years, and yet he has $200 million coming to him, and now Brooklyn's trying to use him. So, yeah, there's been money thrown around like this for a long time. But on a 37-year-old, that is, I think, a new one to the league. I think there's even a special provision in the collective bargaining agreement for players who are over 36 to get special contracts that you can have out clauses on, I'm pretty sure. And I can't remember the exact details, but it's made for players to be able to stay in the league past 35 and not get squeezed out by the young guys. So there's some special way to handle them. Did the Lakers do that? No. They just signed him to as if he's Kobe Bryant of 2005 or even Kobe Bryant of 2012, but he is not. He is never going to be again.
All right, I have a few that I thought up / might have Googled in the last couple of minutes. And look, bad contracts are bad contracts. Gilbert Arenas' contract was bad because of a lot of other things, and that's not.
But he was young.
Yeah, exactly. And those are not the ones I'm talking about. I'm talking about Eddie Curry getting just money just dumped all over him for having a decent little run for a couple of games in Chicago.
He was young, but he was
everything that's negative about DeMarcus Cousins without ever showing that he can actually be the positive of DeMarcus Cousins.
True.
So that one was tough. But the one that I want to throw out there, and it's because with this Kobe contract, in my opinion, I don't think it was necessary. Like, I think that that's the biggest thing that I don't know if it's been talked about a lot. I don't know if it's necessary. And that was the one contract that sticks out is the Michael Vick contract that Philly gave him recently, where they just dumped money all over him after having one decent year, after basically still being in the probation phase of the NFL and the world at large. But they just dumped money all over him, and then he proved that he wasn't worth it at the end. That's kind of like this Kobe one, where it's not a necessary contract, in my opinion.
But let me tell you the difference, though, the huge difference, Grand Canyon difference, is between the NFL and the NBA.
Yeah.
In the NFL, you can just say, oh, no, thank you, we don't need you anymore. And guess what? The contract is void. The only money you spent is the money you've already spent, and that's why they get these big signing bonuses and all that. But sure, Michael Vick is not making all that money when he's not on the team. He's only making the money while he's on the team. You look at Kevin Cobb in Arizona. He got a $60 million contract for never having started a game. How ridiculous, right? Well, yeah, he got a bunch of money up front, and it ended up costing the Cardinals $20 million for 2 years, which is way overpaying, sure, but they got out of it, and they can get out of it and not pay the rest of the contract. The difference in the NBA is that every penny is guaranteed. Amari Stoudemire is going to make his $100 million a year, even though they can't even afford to put him on the court anymore to play in a game. He's going to make that full $100 million. Kobe Bryant is going to make that full $48 million. They can't say a year from now, oh, yeah, Kobe, it's not really working out. Keep your first $24 that you made this year and, you know, go home. No, they have to pay the whole $48 million after this year when he's not even playing hardly. So I just, it's just comical because it's the NBA where it's every penny is guaranteed.
The NBA should, I've always thought that every sport should have non-guaranteed contracts, but let's go ahead and get something going on change.org. I think that's how you're supposed to use that website, right? Is to just put up stuff that you think is not, that stuff you just don't like. I'm kidding. Don't do this on change.org. That's wasting it. But, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the non-guaranteed contracts. The Joe Johnson one, by the way, on a few lists that I pulled up, eighth worst contract in sports history was the Atlanta contract. I pulled that up real quick while we were talking, just on one list. But, yeah, I just wanted to do a little quick little bonus snippet there because everyone's got a take on this Kobe thing. It directly and indirectly affects the Phoenix Suns in the future, and I think that they just handcuff themselves to a lead block that has a bad Achilles, and they're probably not going to be going forward anytime soon with anything unless David Stern's salute to the NBA on his way out the door is a 2014 draft lottery win by the Lakers.
Oh, and you know what? My parting thought on this whole topic is the Suns' 2015 first-round pick that's only top 5 or 3 protected from the Lakers is looking pretty darn good.
It's looking.
In fact, there might be a good chance the Lakers get to keep that pick simply because they'll be so bad they'll be in the top 3.
And that in itself is a win for the Phoenix Suns. That's bonus coverage. Appreciate you guys listening. And we'll be back next week with some more podcasts here for the Phoenix Suns on Bright Side of the Sun. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend. And Dave, let's sign off. Happy Thanksgiving for everybody.
Yep, happy Thanksgiving. Happy Turkey Day. Hope everybody gets really great food on Thanksgiving and gets to fall asleep watching football.
Cranberry sauce for all.
That's right.